Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Brett Hershey, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Los Angeles, and he is also has a lot of experience with Argentine tango, and we're going to talk about the connections between the Alexander Technique and Argentine tango. Brett, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Robert.
I wonder if you could begin by giving our listeners just a quick definition or description of the Alexander Technique.
Sure, I'd be happy to. The Alexander Technique is a hands-on method of education that teaches us how to undo acquired physical habits of excess tension and collapse that interfere with the inherent design of the body.
Okay, and so from that description, I could imagine that if one wanted to learn how to do Argentine tango or get better at it, the Alexander Technique might be useful for that, just as it would be for any activity.
Absolutely. I mean, it's as you know, the Alexander Technique can be applied to any activity, and I think that's why I was really drawn to it in the first place. I was having some back pain, you know, my 20s, mid to late 20s, and the fact that nothing could really be applied to the technique, but everything could be the Alexander Technique could be applied to everything, and certainly tango. Tango's Argentine tango is a very challenging, you know, difficult dance. There's a lot going on. Especially if you're dancing socially at what's called a milonga, mm-hmm. where you're dancing with other couples and you're dancing counterclockwise on the dance floor. And it's a dance that's 100% leader or male led. So the leader, usually men, they are not only dancing themselves, but they're dancing their partner pretty much almost every single move, ostensibly. And then they're also navigating and also interpreting the music. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot there. And the movement patterns, I mean, the movement, the steps are complicated, and it's actually not choreographed. It's not, it's more like a language. So, there's, you know, thousands of words and you're basically putting sentences together depending on the music and the navigation and what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. So it's the tendency with that much stimuli, there's open season for bad habits, for looking down at the floor. I mean, from everything from not, you know, worrying about kicking the woman, or is your woman worrying about kicking the your leader, your man, to forcing things, to over-tensing, collapsing on yourself. I mean, there's all kinds of problems and pitfalls with it.
Well, it's interesting because I wrote a blog post a few weeks ago on a completely different topic, but someone wrote in response to that, someone who apparently was also an expert in Argentine tango and the Alexander Technique, and she said that, I'm pretty sure it was a she, that one of the things about Argentine tango is that, as she puts it, you pick up and follow the smallest twitch from your partner. There's the contact with my partner, she writes, reveals any holding pattern I might have. That there's that kind of direct connection that gives feedback and direction between the two people dancing. Would that be accurate from your point of view?
Yes, very accurate, and yeah, very similar to the contact in an Alexander lesson with the instructor putting hands on the student, or especially even a table turn. I think the table is a follower. To receive a table turn, you were asking them basically to let the instructor, you know, move their limbs around, and so it's very similar. It's a little bit like Simon Says a bit, but you're basically leading as an instructor with a student on the table, and then even getting a student out of chair or guiding them through an activity, and the same is true. And so much is about that quality of presence, of movement, And you pick that up right away. And that's where, I mean, the heart of Argentine Tango is really a hug. I mean, it's just two people hugging over 3 or 4 minutes. And then there's all the kind of movement that you can do. But the idea is to keep that hug and that kind of intimacy. So that's what may be a little bit different. I think we don't get quite that close in an Alexander session. It's all about that connection, and it's physical, of course. It comes through the physical, but it's as we know, very psychophysical. That's just the window in.
Right. And you know, since I first made contact with you, I guess it was several months ago, we talked about the possibility of this interview. I've been struck by how many references have appeared lately about the connections between Alexander technique and Argentine tango. Could be I'm just more alert to that, but
right.
But I mean, there have been a number of articles about it, number of teachers who are also involved with Argentine tango. It just appeared over the last several months. So do you think that is it partly because Argentine tango itself is becoming more popular, or is that Alexander connection coming more to the fore?
Maybe both. I think tango, my understanding is tango is growing worldwide, that it is becoming a more popular dance. And, you know, Argentine tango is a little bit behind some of the other dances, salsa and swing, I think mainly because it was almost exterminated in Argentina under some of the dictatorships. You know, there was a time when you couldn't congregate more than 4 or 5 people in one place. And so there's a generation that doesn't dance tango in Argentina. And then it was kind of rediscovered and you know, new life was breathed into it, you know, after the dictatorships fell in the 80s, the early 80s. And so it's kind of, I think, ascending. And then I think, you know, there's already a sort of pre-awareness in the dance community with Alexander technique. And I think because it's such a hard technique, or sorry, such a hard dance, that some teachers get, you know, it's frustrating. And this could be a set of almost anything, golf, tennis, but teachers, they have students come in and here they're trying to teach them certain steps or styles, you know, the actual dance. But many of their students, I'd say 70, 80% of the students are limited by their inherent, their basic movement quality. And as we know, you know, good dancing, good tennis playing, those things start actually with how you're getting out of bed in the morning, how you're brushing your teeth, how you're sitting at the office, how you're waiting for a left-hand turn at a stoplight. So with an instructor, maybe a tango teacher, they can only do so much in their classes with getting into the pure movement, posture, how people are carrying themselves. And then I think there's a certain point where they, and I know some instructors, they call me and they say, look, this person really could benefit from the Alexander technique. Because they, again, I've noticed in my practice, you just start seeing there is a hierarchy of movement. And I almost like first, second dimension, three. So when people start, tango would be more fourth dimension. You're dealing with complex spirals, complex lunges, those sorts of things. And so they need to take a step back and get into the one, two dimensional, you know, sitting and standing, walking, looking at those sorts of things before they put, you know, try the more complicated things and dancing with a partner.
Well, yeah, I wonder if there's a kind of an analogy with a totally different field that kind of springs to mind when I hear you talk, the field of yoga, where it developed in an environment where people had a certain level of flexibility that perhaps and coordination that they don't have in the West so much. And when you try to teach traditional yoga postures to people who don't have that flexibility, you do risk injury, chance of injury, and just a limitation on how well people can do that. Do you think there's any sort of analogy there with Argentine tango?
Well, I do. It's interesting you mention that because What I've seen lately, you know, in my practice, and I think just starting a practice now, you know, this is 2013, in the last, you know, let's say 4 or 5 years, I mean, I just think because of computers, because of commuting, because of iPads, because of, I mean, we are spending so much time in front of these machines, and we're just sitting. I don't think people were doing that so much. I mean, again, different problems 100 years ago. Or 75 years ago, the glory days of tango were kind of 20s, 30s, 40s, you know, big band era, kind of before television, those sorts of things. So, but I think more people danced and more people were in their bodies. I mean, I think there was just more physical activity, even around the house, in their jobs. You know, it's just everyone's working in front of a computer. So I think there's something to that. I think we're seeing back problems, and I see it in my practice, 23-year-olds, 27-year-olds coming to me with, you know, sciatic nerve pain, or they're interviewing with back surgeons. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you saw that. I don't think you saw that 50, 60 years ago. That's my sense.
No, and even going back less than that, say 20, 25 years,
yeah, yes.
The very term repetitive strain injury hardly existed. I mean, I'm sure it existed as a term, but people didn't really, it wasn't on people's lips so much. And then with the advent of video display terminals and then later personal computers, suddenly everyone's walking around with splints on their arms and, you know, getting surgery for this and that in their wrists. I don't think you really had very much of that in the past, or nowhere near as much. And I wonder, I assume Argentine tango, I assume it emerged in Argentina. Would that
yes,
be?
Yes, it
and
did.
In what time period, roughly, would you say?
The origins are a little mysterious, I guess, like any good activity, human activity. But it was around the turn of the century, beginning of the 20th century. So, you know, late 1800s, early 1900s is sort of the when it began. And it really, you know, the legend is that it started in these brothels and cafes in Buenos Aires.
Uh-huh.
It was a heavy immigrant population. You know, the ratio was something like 50 to 1 or 100 to 1 men to women. So, you had all these men who came over from Italy and Spain to work, leaving their families behind. Mm-hmm. And that's what also, you know, when you hear in the music, it's a little bit very much like our country music. It's all about longing and loss.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, with an immigrant population, you have a lot of longing for family and for the countries they came from. And then this became very romantically charged. So it's a longing for a significant other, longing for a love, a lover. And you had these men, with very few women, they're frequenting these brothels and cafes. And then it became a little bit of a game, apparently, that, you know, to get the best girl, you know, it was kind of a dancing, I'm going to say contest, but it was like if the better dancer you were, then you could get the better girl, and it was actually it's pretty documented, and still today, common for men to dance with men. So it was often men dancing with men, waiting for the prostitutes in the cafes.
Yeah.
So that's where it sort of came from. Then it went through a golden era, you know, 20s, 30s, 40s. The music and became very popular there, and then it was exported to Europe. You know, the Argentines made a lot of money off World War I, and so there's that saying, as rich as an Argentine. They've gone through huge booms and busts, but when they did, the wealthy class went to Europe and they took tango with them. And this is Carlos Gardel and all. So then it went from this kind of lower class dance in the barrios, then it became kind of got dressed up in Europe a bit. So there's a little, it's strange. Tango, some people wear suits to dance tango, other people wear a t-shirt and jeans. Women sometimes dress like high-end prostitutes or high-end, like escorts almost. I mean, some women dress up very, you know, super classy. Other times it's more risque or almost like burlesque.
Oh,
and so there's a strange sort of identity, and it's similar, reminds me a little bit of Tantra, in that it's in term it's it, there, there's a you know obviously a romantic and sexual component to it, and yet there's also this very spiritual component. I think unlike any other dance, you're really in this you're in a hug, a close embrace. I mean, you can dance farther apart, but most people I'd say now are dancing close. That's not, you know, you don't see that in swing and salsa. Salsa is very overtly sexual, but this is, it's a hug. So it really the hearts, you're connecting with your chest. Mm-hmm. So that's really where the connection starts. Now it can go all kinds of places, but, and that gives it, there's some kind of depth there, and then you have the longing in the music. So there's this kind of existential quality to it, and it's really about, I think, dancing in the face of loss, which is really human existence. So, you know, some people come to, salsa dancers will come to me longer and say, God, this is depressing. Everyone looks depressed.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I think the people that, so tango attracts a certain type of person. Usually someone's gone through a breakup, divorce, grieving, loss, lonely. And that those that the tango tends to attract those kind of, and it's almost like a, again, if you break up, you're used to being with someone, getting that kind of physical contact every day. And then you don't. There's a real longing for that. And tango, where else can you go and hug someone for, let's say they play a tanda of music. Let's say it's four songs. So you dance with someone four songs. That's about 12 minutes. Where else can you hug someone, a stranger, for 4 minutes that you don't know?
Right, right. Well, you know, it's a couple of things that you said are really relating a little bit to, one, to the Alexander technique. You said in the early days, in Argentina, there was this competitive aspect to it, and so I'm guessing that people put a fair amount of energy in learning how to do it really well, or maybe the people who were naturally good had good coordination and balance kind of won out in that competition over time, and maybe influenced other people who just watched them dance. Is that possible? That there was a kind of a,
absolutely.
You hang out with people with good posture and coordination. Some of that rubs off on you. So I wonder, that seems yes. like an interesting aspect to it. And the other thing, a little more personal, is you mentioned country music. Of course, American country music deals a lot with loss.
Yes.
I mean, it's really the core value there. And it's interesting to me that when I watch country musicians play and sing, I see some of the best coordination that I see anywhere among performers. There's a quality of Alexander jargon, good use, that exists there that's missing in a lot of other singers and musicians. So, who knows? Maybe being miserable brings out the best in your use. I don't know, but it's an intriguing thing, and
I will say it's impossible to dance Argentine tango well without good use. It's just impossible. It's
right.
It's way too complex. When you're dealing with spirals and such, it's just you can't. And so
it's a weeding out process.
It is. And it's a hierarchy in terms of, uh-huh. With the milongas, men ask women to dance, and oftentimes it's very much just through eye contact. It's called a cabeceo.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's so interesting. I mean, the Alexander, F.M. Alexander's words, really come to mind in this situation, because in learning this activity, because most people, I think 70-80% of the people, what they do is they end game. They want to learn more, especially the men. They want to learn more and more steps.
Right.
And the problem is they're not looking at the means whereby how right. they're doing it. And what the what if you ask women, it's really not the amount of steps that you it's really the quality of the movement, the quality of connection, and right. the quality of putting those steps to music that's important to them. So what happens is a lot of men, they get stuck in this end gaining of trying to learn the steps, and they're really missing out. And so you find the women will then, you know, it's the women tend to dance with the people that have. So I mean, I know some guys who don't do very much, but they really, the way they can, they stay with themselves, they're able to connect with the woman. The women really enjoy dancing with them. And it's also intergenerational. You'll have men 70, 80 years old. I mean, women too. I mean, one of my favorite persons to dance with, she's, you know, 75 years old. We've danced the last 10 years. I mean, I started with, you know, when she was dancing, and, you know, we just love each other. We have a great connection, and but that use is so important.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned F. Matthias Alexander, the developer of the Alexander technique. When he apparently, whenever a circus came to town, he would go watch it because he knew that when he was watching acrobats, he was going to see good coordination and balance, or in Alexander jargon, good use.
Yes.
Basically a weeding out process, really clear in that field, because you're not going to walk a high wire unless you got pretty good use of yourself. You're gonna fall, basically. Yeah. So I mean, it's an occupation that by its very nature weeds out poor use. And it sounds to me as though Argentine tango has some strong elements of that as well.
And it's through exactly, and it's there. It's through, you know, it's not. It's if you dance with someone, for example, if you dance with a woman and her balance is not very good, then she hangs on you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's uncomfortable, and it can not only be uncomfortable, it can be painful. It can hurt your back, your body, mm-hmm. And the same for a woman. If a man, you know, doesn't have good balance, he stumbles and falls and hangs on you, and oftentimes there's this kind of overleading. Mm-hmm. A lot of excess force, you know, way too much. I mean, so that's uncomfortable, and it can hurt the women's back, or lead, and then even in terms of leading them into other people, if they're not very good navigators, or if they're not have good control. So yeah, so then they just stop dancing. You know, then those people, then they said, no, thank you, I don't. You know, they just look in the cabaceo, and when the man looks to them to dance, then they just look away. They don't. It's one of the, we right back to what you originally said. I can ask someone I don't know, I've never seen before, to dance. We go out, we can tell within, you know, 5 seconds, you know, of kind of how, where this person's at, and where in terms of the dance and you know, the connection. I mean, it can take a song or two. You get to know someone, of course, right. But you can take one step, and you just, like you take, as you probably know with your students, the way they just walk in the door, the way they sit in a chair, you know so much.
You have a pretty good idea what's in store. Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's really interesting for someone like me who knows virtually nothing about dance. I find that all very intriguing.
Just in that same vein, it's interesting with women, you know, and it's difficult for women in tango because of the heels. You know, on one hand, there's much more for the man to learn at the beginning. It's harder on the man. You know, again, I was saying you have to dance yourself, you have to dance your partner, you have to navigate and interpret the music. A woman, you know, she just has to follow. But she has to follow wearing heels. Some women don't wear heels, but most do. And so, you know, you've seen, I'm sure, women walking down the street who can't walk in heels, or their use is very bad.
Right.
And it just looks, it's almost, they should just take them off. It's worse. You know, they look very uncoordinated. And so that's another thing you can spot across the room, just how someone walks in heels. You can get a sense of what her use is like just by the way she walks, what kind of dancer she's like.
Well, it's a little like Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers,
sure.
Right? And everyone says what a great dancer Fred was, and he was. Yep. But Ginger, you know, had a slightly different set of issues to deal with those high heels. So,
and maybe you find this in your practice as well, but you know, usually like if students come to the beginning, it's a lot more mental work and even physical work for me to get them out of a chair. If there's a lot of tension, they're holding a lot. I'm kind of fighting with them a bit. Where then over time, 10, 20, 30, 40 lessons, it becomes more telepathic. You're doing less and less and less. And the same thing happens in tango. At the beginning, it's much more physical, and you're thinking a lot. about, again, the lead and trying to put these sentences together. But over time, it becomes more telepathic. And I've heard, these couples that, the professionals that go around the world, they'll say, it's almost like, I don't know if I'm leading her or she's just reading my mind. So it becomes that fine-tuned. And that's where the real joy is that when the use is really good and then the knowledge of the dance is really good, that it becomes this conversation that's sublime, that's almost ethereal, because there's so little effort that is needed to lead. And it comes from very, very much like Tai Chi. It's an internal, it becomes more and more internal. You're just leading with your, as Alexander would say, your central organizing principle, your head, neck, and back, or as the Tai Chi people would say, your Dantian, you're leading with your spine, and that's it.
Wow. Well, I think this might be a good place to bring our conversation to a close, unless there's something else you're desperate to say. My guest today has been Brett Hershey, who is an Alexander Technique teacher and an Argentine tango. Are you an instructor of Argentine tango?
I do. I teach as well. I mainly teach Alexander Technique, but absolutely. Interestingly, I'll have students come to me want tango lessons, and I either know how they dance already, or we'll do one lesson. I'll say, what we really need to do is have a few Alexander lessons first, and then we can start bringing that into.
I can well imagine that too. Yeah. So anyway, my guest has been Brett Hershey, an Alexander teacher and an Argentine tango teacher in Los Angeles. If anything about our talk is interesting to you, and you live in the Los Angeles area, we'll put a link to Brett's website by the interview. And if you live anywhere else in the world, we'll put a link to a site that has general Alexander information, as well as information on how to locate an Alexander teacher anywhere in the world. Brett, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate it.